We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for being a part of what God is doing here in Brevard County. And we are thankful for you making us part of your day right here on WMIE 91.5. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we're going to be spending the next 30 minutes together here studying through Isaiah chapter 60. And so we want to say thank you to Merritt Assembly of God, the saints there, and those who have felt inclined to partner with us from time to time throughout the 3+ years we have been doing this radio broadcast. It's hard to believe it's been that long already, but it has, and we are very excited. You know, when yesterday I was talking about God's provision and stepping out in that provision, and what you may not know is we didn't necessarily have the budget in place to be able to do this program. The door was opened to us. We were asked if we would consider it, and we prayed about it, consulted with our board. We felt like it was something that God was in. And so when I was talking yesterday about God making the provision, if you would step out and arise and shine, I know that that's a reality, that God does that. And so the provision has come in. There's been some times that it was close, but that we have managed to make this a part of the functioning budget of Merritt Assembly of God, and He has continued to provide. We want to say thank you to all of those listeners. I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast those that we encounter throughout the community. But we've had a number of people over the last few weeks who said that they, you know, were traveling in from other areas and happened to listen to the program and came and visited our church while they were here. And so we thank you for honoring us by being allowed to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with you over the past several weeks. So want to let you know that this coming Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching on God of the Second Chance. And Sunday night, we're going to be having a football viewing ministry opportunity. It's going to be a wing contest. Doors are going to open at 6. There's going to be prizes for the person who made the best wings. Publix is not considered, or Frankie's Wings or Things, or Pizza Hut. None of those wings, they don't get the door prize. They have to be made by you, the person who brings the best wings is voted on by those who are there. They're going to get a door prize. When you come in, you're going to have the opportunity to pick which team you think will win that night, and those who pick the winning team will have a drawing of those who picked that team at the end. And one person will walk away with a prize from that Sunday night as well. So I believe kickoff starts at 6:30. Our doors are going to open at 6 o'clock. So some exciting things coming up. Our missions convention is coming up on February the 19th. And so if you can make any of those services, please come out and be a part of that. So we've been talking about yesterday's program, verse number 17, instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron, I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. So in verse number 18, this is Isaiah chapter 60, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, And your God, your glory, your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the everlasting Lord will be your everlasting light, for the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also your people shall all be righteous, they shall inherit the land, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. So some of the other things that are talked about when we arise and shine and the glory of the Lord is upon us, and he is able to use us as an agent to for his redemptive capabilities to be radiated throughout the nations, he says that violence will come to an end inside of our borders. You know, when you think about some of the violent statistics that we have heard about in some of our inner cities and the attacks that have happened on our land here in the past several years, I wonder what our threshold is sometimes. You see, we're a nation that is really great at calling out to God whenever there's a catastrophe, whenever there's a crisis, and we're a nation that's very good at fighting against God whenever those catastrophes have passed from recent memory. I think that's a shame. I think that we need to have a much lower threshold. One of the things that I challenge our congregation with is a statistic out of the book of Joshua, where the where the Battle of Ai takes place and the people of Israel are defeated, and Joshua and the entire nation hit their knees. And I asked them this question, does anybody know how many of the people of Israel were killed during that battle that caused them to just be overwhelmed with sorrow to the point that they hit their knees and they were discouraged almost to the beyond the ability to be consoled? Okay. We've had thousands and thousands of troops that have been killed. We have had millions of babies who have been born or have been aborted instead of being born. And so I'm looking because I want to make sure that I get the exact number right. And I had it right in my head. But it's in Joshua 7, verse number 5. And it said, "And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shabarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water." The children of Israel, they were so used to not having any casualties that the thought of 36 casualties caused them to hit their knees in prayer and say, "God, this is a new normal that we find unacceptable." And I'm afraid that our threshold has been raised to where we don't hit our knees for 36. We don't hit our knees for 300. We don't hit our knees for 3,000. When are we going to hit our knees and say, "God, would you do whatever work is necessary inside of us so that we can arise and shine with the glory of the Lord upon us?" Violence was not meant by God to be a part of our normal experience. Peace was. Blessing. Yeah, so let's be a people that say, "You know what? We're going to pray. We're going to pray." You know, I'm not a person that rejoices whenever something bad happens to another person, because if they're killed in the process, they have had their last opportunity to come to repentance. And so I want to make sure that violence no longer has a place in our land. I've got way too many family members who have been killed because of violence. Not up to 36 yet, but it's too many. Okay? Neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. You know, there is a secret destruction that goes on sometimes beneath the surface. And so people can be walking around. They can have a smile on their face. I have noticed that in society that some of the funniest people, some of the most well-known comedians are actually battling things beneath the surface that no one knows about, but they can be, you know, celebrities and famous and rich beyond compare, but on the inside they can be lonely and isolated, discouraged and depressed because there's something taking place beneath the surface. I recently played golf with the Dennis Haven from Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, and we played a course, and on this golf course there's a house, and he said, I think that termites have gotten into that house. And sure enough, I mean, here is this house that looks just pristine from a distance, and then all of a sudden you come around the corner and you see the backside of the house, and there is damage at the core of the structure that it hadn't caused it to fall to the ground yet, but there's some serious damage. There's some devastation and destruction that has gone on beneath the surface. And now it's beginning to show on the surface. So it's been quite a while now, but we had one night where we were having some altar time, and one of the young ladies, her foot impacted her heel as she was backing up to the wall, hit the baseboard, and when she did, the baseboard deteriorated, and her foot, I mean, up until then, you'd look at it and you, everything looked okay, but after that, whenever you did that, you saw that there was something that was eating away that baseboard all the way up to the paint, and then it would leave the paint, and we had a termite issue. So I want to ask you, if you suddenly came home tonight and you found that termites were eating beneath the surface of your house, how seriously would you take that problem? And the answer is most likely you would take it very seriously. You would say, honey, we got to get the house treated. We've got to address this situation because it's not going to get better undealt with. It will get exponentially worse. Whenever you find termite issues like that, you've got to deal with them. And why would we think that if we are experiencing wasting and destruction inside of our life, and maybe it's not visible to anybody else, but we know that it is there, why would we not make that an urgent priority? Listen, if there is something going on in your life and the devil is tempting you, and there's struggles that are going on and battles that you are waging and maybe nobody else knows about it, don't try and suppress that. Don't try and hide that from God. Come to Him. Get the help that you need. I tell people all the time, it is a lot easier to put out a fire when it is on a matchstick than it is to put out a 3-alarm fire. And so deal with it when it's a problem. When you first find out about the problem, make it a priority to get it dealt with. God wants us not to have violence, not to have wasting or destruction, but for every place that we inhabit, for it to be known as a place where salvation exists and where praise exists, where people are getting saved and where people are praising God. And so I want to bring to you a good report, and that is that already in 2017, we have got people giving their heart to Jesus at Merit Assembly of God. I'm very, very excited about that. I'm thrilled about that because that means that hell is being plundered. I had an interesting experience the other day. The Fuel Men's Luncheon that meets on Merritt Island. It meets on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and goes until 12. There's some food. There's some teaching or preaching goes on, and you get to meet a few men that you might not get to encounter other places you go, and all sorts of different churches are represented. And so I was on my way, and I had been told that there had been so many men that had shown up there the first week that they ran out of parking spaces. And so my church is close enough, so I decided I was going to walk over. And it sounds more impressive than it is. It's maybe a half mile. And so I was walking that day, and on the way over there, I pass an elementary school, and there's a playground out there, and I really wasn't paying attention. There were boys and girls, and you know, chasing one another and playing on gym equipment and all that sort of stuff. And all of a sudden, I hear this little voice that says, "Hey, Pastor Bob! Hey, Pastor Bob!" And so I look over there, and it's one of the kids that comes to our kids ministry. And then I got excited because he automatically told his friends. I waved at him and all of that. I knew his name, and but I heard him say this: "He's the pastor at the church that I go to." And I just said, "I love my job. I love my job." And you know, not everything that touches the hearts of boys and girls and men and women, not all of it's going to be super spiritual. If I told you how that group of boys, he's got two brothers that, and one of them, you know, comes to church and another one on occasion. And you know how they started coming to church? They were playing basketball in our parking lot, and I took some time to go out there and play basketball. And that was over the summer. And let me tell you, their older brother, he is quite the hoopster. I'm telling you, he just put a beat down on this 50-some-year-old pastor. I went home and was like, "That kid can play ball. He's really, really good." But so when we have this football party Sunday night, it's not the most spiritual thing that we're ever going to do, but it's about building relationship, and sooner or later those people may need a church. They may need a pastor to talk to. And so I want them to have the opportunity to know salvation. And folks, here's something that you and I can do. I can't control how many people get saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But I can control how much praise and worship is offered up to my King. I can control what I do with my... And so I want to encourage you today to be willing to do your part. Pray that the violence comes to an end. If there's a issue that is undermining or beneath the surface the things that you know God wants to do in your life, deal with that issue. Be there to lead people to Jesus as much as you can. But there is something that is within our power. A lot of times we want to complain about the things that we don't have the power on while not addressing the issues that we do have the responsibility for, and that is praising God. Your gate shall be called praise. So I want to encourage you to worship the Lord, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, verse number 21, drop down to there, and we're going to look at there. There's a lot in this last two verses, so we're going to talk about this today. We'll finish it up on Monday. "Also, your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. Also your people shall all be righteous. So if the casualty promise that I talked to you about before, about the violence in the land, at what sort of threshold will we start praying? At what sort of threshold will we stop refusing to listen to God and start listening to God and do life the way that he instructs us in his word? If that won't do it, what about the promise that God wants all of our people to be righteous? There was not anybody that would have thought that God was able to convert Saul and make him the Apostle Paul. Ananias, who went to pray for him, when God said, Ananias, go pray for this guy by the name of Saul in the city of Damascus, Ananias said, God, I've heard about this guy. He began to have a discussion with God about whether or not to go, because he already had a reputation for being a person who arrested the saints, persecuted the saints, and even gave approval to their death. And God told Ananias, he said, go, because I have told him that there's a guy by the name of Ananias that is coming to pray for him, that his eyes will be opened. You are integral to the plan that I have in this man's life. And so Ananias went, and I love what it says in the book of Acts. Let me turn over there just a second, because I do like to get these things right to the best of my ability. And so let me find it. Silence on the radio. Verse number 17. Okay, let me drop back to verse number 13 out of Acts chapter 9. Then let me drop back to verse number 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. I mean, that sounds very much like Isaiah chapter 6. That's a good thing to start with. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now listen to this, okay? This is Ananias, verse number 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Do you see what Ananias said? He went in and he introduced himself, brother. Now, that was something that indicates we have something in common. We have the same father. We're on the same team. Saul needed an ally. He needed somebody who knew God better than he knew God to come along and say, hey, I just want you to know you're not alone on this journey, and your people shall all be righteous. Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 21. If you've got somebody that you are praying for today, I want you to set in your heart to do what you can do. And that is, you can praise God, you can arise, you can shine, you can let the glory of the Lord shine upon you. You can begin to pray and to claim the promises, and to put your threshold of intercession in line with the word of God. And he said, and they shall inherit the land. They shall inherit the land. You know, when people start talking about inheritance here in America, we start thinking about money. We start thinking about possessions, and I want to encourage you that if you have family, when there comes time for dealing with earthly estates, that you don't let greed have any place in that process. I've heard way too many horror stories, seen way too many horror stories played out of siblings and other relatives that just started a mine mentality. And so I want to encourage you, don't go there. For the covenant people of God, inheritance is what is bequeathed to us by God. And it says, and they shall inherit the land forever. It's much more about, for the children of Israel, it was what was allocated to them when they entered the promised land. And if you read the story of Ahab and Naboth's vineyard, you will find how much they valued, how many people of faith valued the inheritance that they had been given. They were meant to possess that forever. Many people would sell theirs, and Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. And he said, look, this is my inheritance. I can't sell you my inheritance. It's something that God placed into our family, and it's not going to be me that abandons it. And so he said, my inheritance from God is more valuable than money. I I'm not all that concerned about my house and my car and all of those tangible needs. I'm not all that concerned about the worldly wealth that I can amass and all of that. I want to be a faithful steward, and I want to increase because I want to be able to give at an exponential and a supernatural level. But I'm very much concerned about my spiritual inheritance, the promises of God, the word of God, and the giftings that God has, not just for me, but I want my kids. I want Merit Assembly of God. I want the people of this community of Brevard County to walk in the full blessing of the inheritance that God has for us. And that will become a reality when we arise and when we shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Father, I just pray right now. I pray, God, that violence would be banished in America because the people of God arise and shine. I pray that we would no longer just be cold-hearted and calloused and say, well, it's just the reality that people are killed in battle or violence is done in the streets. God, I pray that there would, if there are things that are taking place underneath the surface others don't know about, God, that we will deal with those things. I pray that our churches would be filled with people getting saved and that praise would fill the streets. And God, I pray that those who are lost would be found. And I pray that the people of Brevard County would walk in the inheritance you have for us. In Jesus' name. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sing to be a man for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the past.